Welcome back to the Weekly Manga Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about all of your favorite ongoing Japanese manga. This week, we'll be covering the brand new soccer sports manga, Embers, that debuted in Weekly Shonen Jump. And of course, this week, we're going to be talking about One Piece chapter 1138, because this is the largest lore drop in a single chapter we have ever gotten. All that manga news and more coming right up. Hello again, my name is Bruce. I'm the proprietor of the White Gray Black YouTube channel. This week, I am joined again by my constant co-host, Gautam.
Hello, hello.
A special shout out and thanks to our Patreon subscribers, Yaji Black. If you want to have your name read at the top of the episode, see some bonus content, and join that chat, check out patreon.com/WGBmanga. Starts at only $3. All right, Gautam, let's talk about Embers. Here we have Weekly Shonen Jump trying sports again. Their last two endeavors have both been really good and didn't sell and got canceled. I'm talking, of course, about Green Greens and MMA, Martial Master Asumi, yeah, which were both sports and both very good. How did you feel about Embers Chapter 1?
Huh. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I didn't like it as much as either of the two that were canceled, Chapter 1, because I thought they were, to be honest, I didn't think they should have been canceled. I thought they were good.
Okay, for sure.
Like, but with that said, I actually liked Embers Chapter 1. And I have like a few reasons for it, but I'll get into them in a bit. Sure. What did you think, Bruce?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was kind of inoffensive. It wasn't necessarily bad, but it also nothing really hooked me or grabbed me, which I think is the big thing, where it's like, it was good, but it didn't grab me. Nothing was like, whoa, I'm excited, or this was really cool about it. Like, I thought the action paneling was good, but not great. The main character I thought was almost characterless through the whole thing. But there's some interesting stuff in here. I mean, this is essentially Ichigo plays soccer, but it has some of the exact same beats from Haikyuu, where there's like two rivals who are going to be on the same school, I assume. And then there's also like Ice Shield 21 things where it's like, oh, once he's on the field, he's using his superpower. Look how cool and good he is. And they still lose, like, which I'm pretty sure is what happens in, I don't remember if the first game, if they lose in Ice Shield or not. I think they might win it, but
No, they lose that one. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Is that they sort of open with it. But it's the art is good. It's like I said, it's not bad. It just didn't necessarily super grab me. I saw some other people mentioning, and I kind of agree, has some pacing issues, in my opinion. There's like two time skips in chapter one, which is a bit too much.
It was too fast, right? Yeah. I thought so too.
Yeah. I really thought that chapter one should have slowed down and ended like when they're walking onto the field to play the first game, which is, I think, where Ice Shield 21 ends its first chapter, like, coincidentally. I've just read that more recently, so.
I agree. It should have ended before the first game, for sure.
Yeah, doing the whole first game in the first chapter, I think, is a lot. And getting him to high school. And yeah, it's a lot happens in this first chapter. So let's jump through it and see what's going on here. So basically, we meet our main character, Sakura Ichigo. His name is Haitani. He's a thug. He's in middle school, which I think is hilarious when I see a middle schooler and it's like, he looks like he's 6 feet tall and built. He's like, dude's 13, by the way, or 14, I guess. But
as you read this chapter, you will realize that they just go to like JoJo University. They go to JoJo Middle School. Yeah. Like everything is over the top in this middle school and they're all huge.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I guess middle school in Japan is 15 is where it ends. So I guess he's 15, but still. This guy tries to fight him and he manages to kind of dodge him. He plays very defensively. And they're like, oh, he's a nimble one. He's like, how many times do I gotta tell you? And then he gets like, he one punch mans him, punches him out. So he's not a, I thought this was going to be a thing where it's like, oh, the delinquent doesn't actually fight back. And it's like, oh no, he punches him in like, on like page five.
And then he tries to like step, like curb stomp him.
It's like, oh, he's a delinquent.
And the teacher got his like homeroom teacher, like puts his foot to block
the
curb stomp.
Oh, what is that movie? Is this happening in Shaolin Soccer or is it, what's the other one? Hustle, what's it called? Kung Fu Hustle. I think it's in Kung Fu Hustle, right? Where doesn't the grandma like stop somebody trying to stop another guy just like this? Or like the foot goes out underneath it?
It's like a blur in my brain, dude. I can't even remember.
It's been like 10 years since I've seen it, but yeah. So something like this happens in one of those movies. It's either Shaolin Soccer or Kung Fu Hustle, who are directed by the same guy. But yeah, this exactly happens. So,
dude, look at this. Isn't like this panel on the left just JoJo shit with like the aura, like, coming off of them and then menacing at each other,
the zooming on the eyes, the like single thing. Yeah, it's given things. So basically the old guy challenges Haitani to like, oh, we're like, what does he say? He's like, come defeat me and I'll show you. And he's like, all right, we'll fight. And then the guy's like, no, we're playing soccer. And he's like, all right, that's fine, I'm the best around and I'll show you why. And it's just like, you know, they play soccer, the old guy wins. Haitani's sort of frustrated at that. So that kind of means that he's practicing soccer. This is kind of the start of my problems of like, who is this main character and what does he want? Because just being frustrated with I'm the best around and I want to be the best is such a thin motivation for a character that made me not really like, I don't know. There's nothing else. There's no like, my little sister's sick and I've got to make money. Like, there's just nothing else behind this character other than like, oh no, I got beat and I'm mad about it. Time to practice harder so I don't get beat. And he just it's like that happens three times in the chapter and then that's his motivation. Yeah. So I don't know.
You're right. Definitely that we're lacking kind of a driving force for this character. But I think the implied driving force is that he is too competent at fighting and that's all he cares about because, I don't know, he's a delinquent. And he's like bored at this school. So like finally he has a challenge of some kind that where he's not the best at this physical activity. And he's like obsessed with it.
Oh, he got his friends telling us too, that guy can't stand to lose. Like I just like over competitive. Like I don't know if you've ever met people who are like this, who are like way over competitive. They're not very fun people to be around when they're like, I refuse to lose to anything. But
the trick to be like, I'm a competitive person, but the trick to being competitive is to always prioritize vibes over competition.
Yeah. This guy is IRL bad vibes, but IRL bad vibes. But
so to be honest, I kind of appreciate that he is just somewhat of an irredeemable shithead to start because I don't think he has any kind of like, oh, he's like, he seems like a scumbag and he's scary, but you know, he has a heart of gold kind of he's kind of just a scumbag.
That's a good point. We don't get a save a cat from a tree moment, right? Like he doesn't do anything good in this chapter, which maybe is why I didn't connect with him, is that he's not actually like he's just competitive. He's not good in any way. Like he doesn't do anything to like, he doesn't help anyone out or like show that he's misunderstood. Like I was mentioning again in the, during the fight where it's like, I thought like, oh, cool. He'll be like a non-competitive, you know, like a non-combative delinquent where it's like, he doesn't actually fight back. They trip and fall and say they got hurt, but it's like, nope, he just punches him. Like he's just something about that doesn't really get me to jive with the main character. Not that all main characters have to be good people, but like in sports manga, like you want the guy to be like a nice dude. So I'm hoping that they can expand on that.
So here's the thing, right? Like in my head, right? This is just the first few chapters of Yu Yu Hakusho where Yusuke is this absolute shithead, but you see like glimpses of he's a nice dude to Keiko and to like animals and little kids and all that stuff. Yeah, so you can tell he's a good dude.
It doesn't, but, I mean, and surely in the end of chapter one, doesn't he save a kid from a car? Isn't that the start
and
of
dies
Yu Yu Hakusho?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
but the first few chapters, you also have this one teacher, everyone around him thinks he's like a complete garbage human, except for this one teacher who never gives up on him and challenges him in order to improve himself, like this guy is. So it's like very one-to-one Yu Yu Hakusho, except minus the main character doing anything good to show he's a good guy. Except at the end where he's considerate towards his friends. I guess that was the one thing. But anyway, we'll keep that in mind.
What's up with this dude's mouth? Or is it bubblegum?
It's a bubblegum.
Okay. I was going to say, like, this is the worst anime mouth I've ever seen. It's bubblegum. Cool. Yeah. So we basically get a bunch of Haitani and the teacher here kind of going back and forth of, compete against me, out-juggle me, blah, blah, blah. And they go back and forth. And the teacher is basically like, you're really good. Like, haven't you noticed? Like, every time our contest ends, we're always at the edge of the field. That means you don't let your opponents get past you. You're like a wall, inexorably pushing forward. Awaken your secret power, defensive player. Yeah, and then this shot is the one where I'm like, oh, it's Haikyuu. Like, this is, I want to go find the Haikyuu panel from chapter one, because it's like exactly this. Like,
oh, is it?
Yeah, I'm almost sure it has the like flash forward of them like going onto the field in chapter one. Like, almost sure. Maybe it's like early on in chapter two or something, but or maybe it's just anime maybe brought that forward or something. But like, you get a lot of shots of like of Hinata and stuff like walking onto the field, being like an adult, and it's being like, he's gonna be the best and all this stuff.
This is how I became the strongest hero in the world.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, but like I appreciate that the chapter took its time to show like this, the old man mentoring a troubled youth.
Yeah,
those kind of storylines always are a little touching. So I appreciated that. I like the old guy. I definitely thought he was the principal because he was bald, so that was maybe a little prejudice on my part.
That's the oh, fuck,
it's the principal from Nichijou.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's literally Nichijou principal is what he looks like.
Yeah,
yeah. Cool. Yeah. So we get this, like, I can see this guy's going to be great. Again, the teacher's a great guy. So maybe the teacher's going to, move up with him to high school and he'll still be around. I hope this is not a one-off character, but who knows? Maybe he gets personal trained or something. Cause I like his opinion where it's like, hey, he's a troubled kid, but if you give up on him, he's just going to get worse and stay bad. And he's just like, oh, good. Kids are here. Let's go get some exercise. I'll train you to play soccer. Yeah, and so then we get their first real soccer competition, which again they like super time skip ahead. Like, oh, they've formed a full soccer team apparently, and we know three guys.
I do like this joke where
this is a good. This buddy, is good. Yeah,
his buddy brings a bat. It's like, let's bust up this joint.
Yeah, like, this is maybe the one thing the character does where it's like, okay, he is a good guy. He realizes you can't bring a baseball bat to.
We cannot give him credit. For being a good guy, for like calling out his insane friend who brought a baseball bat. That's just like being a human being in the world, I feel. Like, that's a low bar.
Yeah.
He does have one good moment, though. I think you'll agree, but
yeah, it's definitely coming up. So we meet Takami, who's this like, who's a striker on the opposing team, who I'm fairly sure these guys are going to be on the same team together, or maybe because.
Yeah,
sports just works like that. It's just gonna be. This is
the black-haired rival.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole premise of this is Haikyuu, right? Is like a guy who's really specifically good at one part of the game plays against a dude who's really good at the whole game, loses to him. They're then in the same school, competing on the same team, and they'll have to learn how to work together to win. Like, that's literally Hinata and I don't remember the dark-haired kid's name in Haikyuu, but
I'm forgetting. Kagami? I don't know.
It sounds something right. Like something like that. But anyways, yeah. Right? But, like, all Hinata can do is jump really high. And all this guy can do is play defense. And then the other guy is, like, actually good at the game. So
I also like that it's, like, very Eye Shield-like with the devil bat ghost with the after image.
Right.
I like that. That's very cool looking.
Yeah. When they're actually playing the game, I thought it looked really good. Like, I think the art in this is pretty good. The character designs, I think, are pretty decent. I mean, like, yes, it's Ichigo, but like, I don't know. Ichigo's a good design character in my opinion. So
yeah.
It's good. Yeah. We get these two girls who I think are the managers in the high school who, he meets one of them when he gets recruited at the end of the chapter. But,
So I didn't know they were managers at the beginning. I thought they were just like someone who had a crush on the rival character.
They might be at this point, but I don't know.
But I know you're right that they're the manager because one of the girls was at the end. But I was like, how are they like talking about this high level soccer tech? You know, they're like, oh, this was a reverse trap. It's like, what? How do you know that? Like, this is a high school preliminary soccer game.
It's like, don't you? Yeah. So yeah, he plays aggressively, plays defensive. We get some good, there's some good panels here where it's like, that guy caught it, like actually kept up with my dribbling, and he's this like dark creature in the background.
I like that. It's great.
Yeah. But again, it's like, no matter what move I take, he keeps up with me. And he's like this big defensive. This is very Eye Shield 21 too. Like, I feel like we're going to get some author's comments from the authors here, and they're going to be all about like, we love Eye Shield 21. And it's like, anybody who can take from Murata is a good thing.
I love when like characters look different when represented from another character's point of view. Like, he looks like a giant. It's cool. Cool paneling.
He's so hard to get past.
Yeah.
And then, Takami here does like a I think this is illegal in soccer. I don't know. Leave a comment.
Yeah,
I'm fairly sure grabbing that you can't grab jerseys like that when they have the, especially when they have the ball. But I don't know,
because he got a foul early on, right? So yeah. I think this is probably just a foul that they let go because there's like 2 seconds left or something. I can't tell.
I don't know. Maybe it's not like the rules of soccer are very strange. So
everybody would be grabbing shirts and like chucking people around if that was legal.
I feel like there's you can do like, it's kind of like basketball, right? It's like you can do like a tiny little bit of shirt grabbing, but like if the guy has the ball, you can't grab their shirt. I don't know. Something like that.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But yeah, but Takami, like, finally, I think he does like a feint and gets past him and like finally makes his one goal. This is the guy who normally scores like 5 goals a game, and the main character here kept him to one goal, which like makes him frustrated. But yeah, so basically, he's like, next time I get more than one goal past you, he's like, why the hell are you mad? You shouldn't be mad. You won. Like, I'm the one who gets you mad. This is kind of his, like, the is this the good character moment? All this kind of lead up of like, don't you forget me. I'll never live it down. And he's like crying with his coach. Like, I thought this was good.
Yeah, that I guess it shows how overly competitive he is.
yeah.
The good character moment was before this. It's him and Takami were like having a chat about like how there's only 10 seconds left in the game.
Oh, and, yeah.
Like, why are you still blocking me, bro?
And they're like 7 points down or 8 points down or something. And he's like, why are you still playing? Like, just give up.
He's like, it ain't over yet. And he thinks about his friends, like one who hates sweating to like support his goal. And the other one also like went out of his way to do something he didn't like to support playing soccer with him. Oh, like getting his hair messy.
Oh, yeah. He's got the pompadour, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. The pompadour guy, the Kuwabara. Him reflecting on like what his friends are giving up in order to make him happy and being considerate of them and not giving up for that reason, I think is a good character.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's definitely a little bit in here. It's not totally devoid. I like this moment because if he was just like mad, angry, frustrated, I'd be like, yep, it's a flat character. But like seeing him, like he's crying, like he's sad that he lost. Like it is emotionally affecting him in a way that isn't just like anger and frustration. I mean,
I like that too.
It is. But I think this shows a little bit more depth too here at the end.
It shows that him and the teacher are on like very good terms.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, again, it's clearly like a mentor protege relationship.
Yeah. We've time skipped through a year maybe of together. Yeah. So who knows? But then basically the last couple of pages here, he basically gets into like a prestigious sports high school is what I understand it to be, or at least a high school with a really good soccer team. And he kind of walks up and everyone's like, oh, he's a big scary guy. And he walks up. Yeah. This is one of the girls from,
Was
up there.
That was the girl who was like doing like analytical sports commentary on that game.
This one. Yeah. But yeah, he's like, what do you do? He's like, I'm here to play soccer. So the other series that this really reminds me of is Rugby Rumble. How much of that did you read on Jump Plus?
I think only like one or two chapters, but it was fun.
It's really fun. And the main character is an idiot, but he's also this sort of like, I'm just the strongest around, but I don't know how to play the game. So a little bit different from this, but everyone's kind of afraid of him because he's just like a huge fighting guy. But I think that's a really good one if people want more sports manga that are around. So never lost a brawl, never won a soccer match yet.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think like one part I do like is that I do like that the main character is kind of a shithead, like a Yusuke type of character, because I think in the modern day, a lot of people, instead of writing kind of dickhead, rough around the edges kind of characters, they make a character have scary eyes.
Yes.
And then everyone is scared of him because of his scary eyes, but he's actually a huge sweetheart in every other facet of life and is not a terrible person at all. And it's like they do this in rom-coms a lot, right? Where it's like
it's the Toradora thing where the Ryu from Toradora has the delinquent eyes, but he's like literally like husband wife. Like he's just
exactly. So it's like all of these scary eyed people, it's like you want to have a protagonist that the audience likes and would want to see the main girl and the main guy get together, but they're afraid of making them too much of a dickhead, so they just give them scary eyes instead. This guy's a genuine dickhead.
He's only has scary eyes, like you mentioned. He clearly cares about competition in the game and not losing, but also he like legitimately tried to kill a 15-year-old boy, like, by stepping on his face. Like, he did do that in chapter one.
So I do appreciate that this guy is just kind of a dickhead. And we'll have to learn to like him as we go, kind of a thing.
Yeah, I just think in general there was, and I feel like maybe, do we say this about every new thing in Jump? Like, there's too much in chapter one. Like, slow down. Like,
too much in chapter one. Yeah.
Like, this should have been two or three chapters, maybe. But then again, you know what actually went really slow is, like, Green 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 started really slowly and didn't go through, like, a whole, you know, golf game and recruitment and everything in one chapter, and that got canceled. So, and MMA did the same, right? MMA had a fight in the first one, but it was just with those guys who were attacking the lead girl and not, like, an actual MMA fight, and that got canceled. So maybe people do need to see that the game looks good in chapter one. I don't know.
I think all you need is a solid hook to end chapter one. You don't need to give us the whole premise, because I think that's just, like, it's a disservice that it was, like, rushed through, that the rival character, the rivalry was introduced, the him playing the sport and getting into the sport.
Yeah, getting his friends, like, into the sport. Like, there's a ton of stuff that was just skipped to, like, get him to high school. Like, so, I don't know.
And we have to fill in the blanks on how those relationships formed instead of seeing it naturally. Like, I agree. Yeah. It's too fast. I would have preferred him just being interested in soccer and him, like, hanging out with the teacher all of chapter one. And then chapter two, you have, like, the soccer game.
Yeah, or, like, and does he... He needs to, like, learn the rules, and so I don't know. And that's kind of a lot of what, like, Rugby Rumble that I mentioned is about, is, like, I think he maybe plays the game in chapter one, but, like, he doesn't know any of the rules and he's just breaking them. And everyone's like, you're an idiot. Like, you're big and strong, but you're stupid. You don't know the rules. So you have to learn the rules. So I don't know. It is very possible for this series to now sort of, like, grind to a halt and start having good pacing. And I think it'll be a good series. I don't know if I'm confident that it will do that. We'll have to see.
To your point about, like, not relating to this character whatsoever, I think this is, like, a flaw in, like, some sports manga, is that it should be character first and then sports second, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, look at Dog's Red as a shining example of this, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Chapter one was insanely good for that reason, because the character was also a dickhead in Dog's Red, but he's a dickhead you were interested in and understood a little bit why he was a dickhead. And I don't think it even had any hockey in the first chapter, but yeah, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and even, like, the big comparison you're going to get here, which I think is kind of fair to make, is Haikyuu, right? Cause that's the last big Jump sports thing that ended 4 or 5 years ago now, maybe. I think it ended in 2020 or 2021, but, and that, like, the moments that you see people, the big moment that everyone talks about in Haikyuu that I see quoted the most is, like, the character moment of the big tall guy, like, making the block. But the reason that that's so impactful is that you've spent all this time learning about how he's, like, not super interested, doesn't want to give his all. Like, he's just kind of there to play, and he's tall, and he has these little brothers, and they're there watching him. And then he, like, makes the block and gets hype, and it's, like, the hypest moment in the whole series, because you're like, this guy didn't care, and he cares now, and that's why it's hype. And so, yeah, I truly
it's such a good moment that it's still, it, like, it gives me chills, like, thinking about, you know, like,
me too.
Get chills, like, when you see something really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, one of those moments. It's, like, such a good, Suki blocking the point was awesome.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even blocking the point. It's when he comes down and he's like, you're shy, like, does the Japanese yell, and you're like, oh, he's hyped about it. He's into it. He's involved in volleyball, and it's so good. But all that to say that the characters are first in sports, for sure. And I think that most of the really, really successful sports, I mean, I think, I haven't read all much of Ice Shield 21, but I assume that's, you know, interesting characters, side characters, I think, is another thing you have to be good at. So I'm hoping that we can see more of those, more development from side characters in Embers going forward. But yeah, character
ultimately
first.
Sports are all about the storylines, even in real life. So,
yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah. All about the storylines. So leave us a comment. What's the biggest storyline in sports right now? It's the Dallas Mavericks trading Luka. We know. Leave us a comment about it.
I don't know.
You don't know about this? Okay. I don't even.
I don't even know who that person is.
I'm not even involved with basketball, and I have been hearing nothing but this. The Dallas Mavericks basically traded away one of the best players in the entire, like, NBA for, like, nothing to the Lakers. Like, they, like, pretty much just gave him away. Like,
like someone had something on the the Mavericks there's, C team.
Yeah, we won't get too far into it, but is that what
people are saying?
I think the big theory that I've heard is basically that the owners of the Mavericks are trying to get, they own sports gambling, they own like a bunch of sports gambling things, or they own casinos, and they want to get a casino built in Dallas. But if the Mavericks are good, then people are going to the games and they don't. The idea is that they tank Dallas, the team, the Dallas Mavericks. No one buys tickets. They need more money. The state needs more money, whatever. And they're like, oh, we could build a casino and make gambling legal. And then these guys get really rich. Like, I think that's the story I've heard. So they gave Luka away because he was too good and people would always buy tickets to the Mavs game. So they didn't have much influence over the state of Texas's legislature.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I don't know anything about this, but if it's too good to be true, then something's probably going on, right?
Yeah, something's definitely going on. Anyways, yeah. Back to manga. Anything else on Embers, Gautam? Any other call-outs or comments?
No, I'll read chapter 2. I'm curious.
Cool, yeah, I'm definitely going to read a couple more chapters, see how it goes. All right, let's talk One Piece, chapter 1138. 1,138 chapters of One Piece. This is called The Harley. Gautam, every time we talk about One Piece, we're like, oh my gosh, so much lore. Wow, we know so much more. Is this the single largest lore drop chapter in all of One Piece history? I think it probably is.
I wonder, because I think the Vegapunk stuff was also big.
But it took a couple of like different chapters for it all to come out, right?
Like, I guess so. This was all like, it was like a lore jump scare at the end of the chapter.
Yes, like you joke, but like legitimately, I don't think there will be a single panel of One Piece as analyzed as what we see at the end of this chapter. Let's go through it so we can get to the good stuff at the end.
There's also like a lot of lore before it. Yeah,
I was going to say, there's also a ton of stuff before. We learn that that Shanks, our fake Shanks here, is the estranged older twin brother of Shanks. Which I guess, his name is, oh God, he has a weird name, which I've forgotten already.
Something Garland, I forget.
The Shamrock, that's his name.
Shamrock.
Shamrock Figureland, gotta love names. But yeah, and like we mentioned when we talked to each other about One Piece, when Loki first showed up, we were like, man, he's probably a good guy. Like if Luffy doesn't dislike him and didn't like beat him up, he's probably a good guy. And I think we learn even more now that, yeah, something's going on with Loki. I think that shows that he's some kind of good guy.
I think this is also just confirms over and over again that Luffy is just an exceptional judge of character. So
yeah,
it's like,
I mean, like, yeah.
If
like
Luffy likes someone, he's probably good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like a essentially flawless judge of character without even thinking about it.
Exactly. He's just like an immaculate vibes reader, I guess.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Figureland states that Shanks is like kind of his wayward twin brother, younger twin brother, who left the Holy Land to see the lower world, as he calls it. So basically the pirating world. Yeah. And kind of fell in love with it and never came back. Returned once, but never really came back to their elevated lifestyle of celestial dragonhood.
Yeah. Well, and the returned once is when he stole the gum gum fruit, right? Like,
yeah,
we assume, I think maybe at the end of that trip, like he returns, he thinks it's all good and dandy. And then he takes the fruit from the one place, wherever it is.
The reason we all thought like Shanks was a little bit suspicious is because he went to go see the celestial, like the elders, but it could have been,
we thought he did. I think most people are saying that's probably Shamrock. I think that was a red herring, and I think that's Shamrock going and talking to the elders there.
I think so. And we never really see Shanks in like this hooded costume, but we see Shamrock in it constantly. So I think
that it seems to line up for me, right? Like it's a fun red herring for the 8 years or whatever that we've been thinking about it. But I think that was definitely Shamrock. And I think that this essentially clears Shanks of like, because there were a lot of people, I mean me included, thought like maybe Shanks isn't all good, maybe he has other other goals or something in the way. I think that this essentially clears Shanks of all wrongdoing. Shanks is a good guy doing good stuff, and also Luffy is still completely on his side, as we see a little bit later on. But
Shanks is like a more more realistic, brutal version of Luffy. In that he is still a very good guy, but he will also kill someone for it, to set precedent, right? Like he did with the kid.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't think it's dead, but...
Yeah, I don't think so either, but you know what I mean, right?
Like, yeah, he's willing to be a little bit more brutal to get his point across. So we see that Shamrock here has, like, killed all of Luffy's kind of animal followers. My friend's fate decided before my eyes. And Shamrock's sword is... He calls forth Cerberus, which is the three-headed dog guard of hell. And his sword turns into Cerberus. Is this... Here's an interesting question that's also lore related. This does not say it's the Cerb fruit or whatever, right? This is not the dog fruit, but this is a demon thing. So do you think that maybe this is magic from Emu in the same way that the Celestial Elders are sort of demon coded, but it doesn't say that they have devil fruits?
For sure.
That's
for
kind
sure,
of what I'm getting, is that this is like a sword imbued with devil power.
Yeah, I agree there, because it's a Cerberus imbued with sword power.
Oh, we've already seen the sword fruit.
The guy in that Zoro fights to learn to cut steel. That's right.
Yeah, in Alabasta, right?
I think. This is a cool power. I think presumably if Shamrock has a Cerberus fruit and Cerberus is the guard dog to hell, and Emu is like the devil by all means.
Yeah, pretty much.
It probably means like Shamrock is his number two kind of a thing. Or at least his protector of some kind.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's more like Shamrock. Yeah, Shamrock and this others are like Secret Service, right? And he's like the head of the Secret Service of like your job is to protect Emu and the five elders and stuff. So yeah, I definitely think that's the case. They eventually fly off because the Arrow Girl, whose name I've forgotten, is like, Shamrock, let's go. At first I thought like, oh, cool, they left him alone. And then Shamrock, like being an asshole, is just like, nah, go back and get him. And like sends Cerberus back to fucking stab Loki.
The flying off is actually like the three heads of Cerberus, like doing a little jet spiral.
I guess that makes sense. I thought that they like flew away on the plane and he was like, nah, just kidding, go back. But yeah, I guess that they just like curve around and do like a big like jet attack on him. We also get this interesting little tidbit for later, which is like pacifying all will be like call one more, and it's like, very well, which one? So they're gonna call somebody else from Mirajoir, from the Celestial Dragons cadre of whatever you want to say. So I'm wondering who else joins them here.
This chick looks just like Koala, doesn't she?
Oh, like, she doesn't think about that, but does look really
short hair, a similar looking face, I guess, from what we can see.
Yeah, and, like the same
the
hat.
Outfit. Yeah, like the hat.
The same hat. Yeah.
Exact. Oh wow, it is the exact same hat. Yeah. Exactly.
It's hers is like taller, I guess, a little bit.
Is she like a double agent? Like what?
I don't think so, because Koala doesn't have a fruit that we know ever, does she? I don't remember.
No, she doesn't. But like, because she fell in the water in her flashback, I guess. But I don't know. It's like it's too similar of a resemblance for it not to be like aligned in some way, I feel. I don't know.
I'm reading about Koala now. So she started as a slave on Mirajoir. So maybe this is like her mom. Like I would not doubt that there's a connection like that, right? Like her mom or her sister or something. Like this could be Koala's mom or sister very much. I don't think I have
it
a
was
better...
in the Fisher Tiger flashback. I just don't remember that flashback super well.
I don't either. I remember her showing up at some point recently, Koala, but in the like the big between time, I think before before stuff.
We got two doppelgangers who just stabbed Loki and flew off and are going to try to kill children, I guess.
Yeah, and we also Loki is the god of tricksters and trickery in Norse mythology. So I do wonder, he says, even I can't handle getting run through by those. I don't know if he's trying to, if this is Oda communicating us and that, like, oh, this is actually a threat to him and very bad that he gets stabbed and, you know, Luffy or somebody will have to come save him. Or if this is more of like his trickery of like he'll pretend to be dead and do some kind of trick and he'll be okay. I don't know.
I think he's saying usually he's just a beefy guy, but he can't take that blow because he's in Sea Stone Chains. I assume he has like a fruit that true. Helps him be trickier.
Yeah, that would make sense.
When he's out of the chain.
I do think that Luffy will come save him after he's stabbed and save his life. Like, I think is
what for happened. Sure. They're on their way. So
yeah. Cool. So yeah. So this is Luffy and the kind of original four are all here with him going through this castle and talking about the kind of the battle and the war that happened with Loki and the other stuff. And the last remaining guy sort of like looked like Shanks and Luffy's like, fuck you, shut up. It's not him. And it's also funny that, you know, Luffy is an idiot in most regards, but he just like exactly accidentally comes up with like, this guy must have just looked exactly like him, like a twin or something.
Again, he's like, just an excellent judge of character. Like he knows for sure. But I think it's definitely just Luffy being like he loves his pals and the people that supported him. That's why he's acting like this. But he's right? Because
they're like, oh, maybe brothers? And it's like, yep, okay, they're onto it. Which is good. There's no idiot plot of like, what could it mean? A guy who looks just like Shanks, what could it be? And they're just immediately like, must be a guy who looks just like him. Maybe they're brothers? It's like, yep, you got it.
The Giants are like very nice guys after getting knocked out. Because I'd be like, no, fuck that. That was Shanks. He was a huge asshole. I like how Luffy doesn't, calls like Bellamere Mollymere.
Yeah.
Because he did not hear that backstory.
No, he slept through that whole backstory. Yeah.
He just walked away during that backstory because he didn't need it to go save Nami. But like he also just doesn't know it now. So it's good.
Yeah. We also get down here more lore stuff happening. Luffy's talking about Shanks here. He says, I've never heard him talk about his family, just that he was on a pirate ship ever since he was little. And we see a shot of, I think everyone is assuming or correct that this is Scopper Gabon, who I don't remember anything about, but everyone's talking about.
That's made up. That's not a real character. What? Yeah, Scopper Gabon?
Scopper Gabon apparently is this guy. Is a Roger Pirates guy.
I don't know who that is. I've never, that name has never been mentioned, I feel.
Two axes. Yeah, I don't. Everyone is saying that like in discussions and stuff. So maybe
let's
I don't
disregard
know.
Those people because like I can't. I even if it is Scopper Gabon, it doesn't matter because we don't know anything about him. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I thought I thought Roger Rayleigh and those guys were his family. It's like the Roger pilots, not Buggy, not you, Buggy,
not like, you, Buggy, except you.
Which is funny because Buggy is great.
This is the first time you remembered Buggy.
That's true.
Yeah, there you go. Moving up Buggy, the ranks.
Yeah, getting way. It's way more important that Luffy remembered his name than his bounty. We jump over to Frankie here, who's following around. I don't remember this giant's name. There's lots of names in One Piece. He's walking around the Atom Tree, and she's talking about how like there's some children's drawings. He kind of sees a big mural. And like, yeah, like really kid scribbles, like they're estimated to have been drawn somewhere between 800 and 900 years ago, which if correct, puts them right in the period of the Void Century. Frankie is the only person who is going to see the most important panel of One Piece in a second. He calls out Robin. He's like, hey, we got to tell Robin about this. It's like, I got to say, for a drawing from Elbaf, they don't all look like giants to me. And we get little hints here. It's like, that's right. In the history we're familiar with, there were some times wars between the races. I think we see here that these are the giants with horns, maybe, or this is something like that.
Horns,
these I think are the Beastmen, whose name I forget.
The Zo.
This is
the humans. Mermaid.
It's the mermaid because they've got the fish scales. Yeah. But never cultural exchange, they mentioned. And then she says like, maybe it's nothing more than a child's dream. Luffy's dream. Okay. Anyways,
Maybe Luffy's dream is like unity in some way. It would make sense.
I think it is. And it's one of those things where everyone kind of scoffs at it. It's like, and the leading theory, the theory I see presented most for what is Luffy's on her dream is that he wants like everyone in the world or all the races or something to like have a big party together. Right.
Where everyone's that's
just
awesome.
I think kind of the leading prevailing theory that it's something like that. So, But yeah, so we skip to the Walrus School where Robin is. Robin and Chopper. They're in the Owl Library, and they say, so this is the Harley, which is the title of the chapter. It's like, sure is. Like, wow, it's huge and old and dusty. It's like, all the various myths and legends of Elbaf were created based on this original text, since there are so many interpretations of it. And it means the sun god all the warriors in Elbaf believe in has a different personality depending on who tells the story. Ain't that funny? The story split up into three chapters, they say. They say the third chapter describes the world we live in today. It's about something that's going to happen in the future. In fact, the legends of Nika are seeded all throughout the world. The one common feature is that he always shows up laughing to his rhythm. And they give you the doom da da da, whatever the rhythm there is. And Robin, thank you, Robin. The best character in One Piece is like, good, shall we just read it then? And she reads it. And I love this reaction face from Frankie. It's like so, like... Oda does not get enough credit for drawing good reaction faces, like drawing good emotions on faces, but he's very, very good at it.
It's like one of the best parts of One Piece is that the reactions are on point.
And just the emotions in general on faces. Great. She reads it and she says, the first world within the earth, there was fire. And we get the big panel. So we'll be here for a bit. I'll just read this just for if there's audio listeners out there. This says, the first world, within the earth there was fire. Mankind succumbed to greed and touched the forbidden sun. The enslaved prayed, and the sun god appeared. The earth god raged, and with its serpent of hellfire, shrouded the world in death and darkness, and they will never meet. The second world, within the void there was breath. The forest god tamed demons, and the sun spread the fires of war. Those of the half-moon dreamed, those of the moon dreamed. Man killed the sun and became god, and the sea gods stormed, and they will never meet. The third world. Within the chaos there was emptiness. The inconvenient remnants recall the promised day and hear the voice of the half-moon. The sun god dances and laughs, guiding the world to its end. The sun returns and brings a new morning, and they will surely meet. Fuck it. One Piece is the greatest story ever written, Gatchel. It's the best story ever written,
man. It's so good.
It's so good.
So I haven't, I don't really like go on the subreddit or anything. So I haven't read any of the theories. So
okay, good.
Whatever I say might be disproven or is stupid. Who knows? But kind of here's what I'm getting from it, right?
Yeah.
The first world and the second world were both in the past, and the third world's in the future.
Or the today world, and future, I would say.
Today and future, exactly. Yeah. Present and future. And the first world, basically, the world was consumed by darkness, humanity enslaved, and they were all praying for sun god Nika to kind of like break the chains. And the sun god appeared, but like lost, I suppose, and the world was plunged back into darkness. And in the second world, Nika was reincarnated, as Nika does, and kind of had like an impact. This was just a Joy Boy Nika.
Yeah, this is Joy Boy Nika in the second world.
Yeah,
for sure.
And it said basically all the races like kind of were inspired by Nika, but man killed the sun and became god. So presumably this is Emo killing Nika.
Killing Joy Boy, yeah. Which I think we knew or was very heavily implied. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it said the sea god stormed, so this is the rising tides.
The rising, yep. The rising tides you learned about in...
Vegapunk mentioned.
In Vegapunk, yep. Yep, exactly.
And I don't know who the forest god is. Tamed demons. Maybe that's Emu? I don't know.
I don't think so. I'm fairly sure the Emu is the sea god, right? Because something about Emu means sea in Japanese. I don't remember exactly, but
I don't know.
I think that the
because the forest god and the demons is the devil fruit, right?
The forest god tamed demons would be the trees growing devil fruit. Might just be. Yeah. I mean, if we assume that Emu is some kind of god and Nika is some kind of god, then there is also some kind of god that made the devil fruits that maybe will meet or is around or used to be around. I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things. It's like, well, that's the devil fruits, but I don't know exactly what that means about the devil fruits.
If we think Emu is one of the gods, then man killing the sun means that Emu didn't kill Joy Boy. That's someone else. Did. Presumably someone close to him. Who knows?
I do wonder. That's a really good call out. And then it does say man killed the sun and the sea god storm. So we do see that Emu has the big straw hat, right? Like that's frozen in their base or whatever. Do you remember that from 5 years ago or whatever, however long it was? And it has been, I guess, like theorized by some people that Emu and Joy Boy were friends or compatriots or sailed together or something, right? And that the reason Emu is so maybe like mad and vicious and raised the seas is because they were friends. Man killed Joy Boy. Emu was mad, raised the seas. Like that, I guess, is the short version of it.
I don't think Emu's raising the seas. I think this is just by proxy of his actions, you know,
sacrament.
I think Emu is the man that killed the sun and became God, because that makes the most sense.
Yeah,
because Emu is like a person who has just lived a really long time.
That's true. That's also true.
Yeah, I can assume they are the ones that became quote unquote God after killing Joy Boy. I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Let's go back and take a look at First World, because there's some stuff in here that I think is really interesting and important, both visually and in the text. The first one is that within the earth, there was fire. Mankind succumbed to greed and touched the forbidden sun. This is the mother flame, right? Is what most people assume. Or the mother flame is some kind of copy of whatever this original earth fire was, I think.
Yeah. As you can see, they're like toiling and slaving away at industry. You see like the buildings on the right side.
And as we learned also kind of in Egghead, they're essentially the old world before the Void Century was like more advanced. Like this is kind of a post-apocalyptic world in One Piece, which is funny because the original idea for One Piece was like a post-apocalyptic thing that Oda drew, where Nami has the axe. Have you seen those pictures?
Oh, I have. Hey, yeah.
It still is. Yep, he got to do it. So the enslaved prayed. It's interesting to note, this is not things that I noticed, but things that comments. I believe that there are 19 human-shaped people here, and then the king, who looks very much like Emu, if I will say. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And then I think 19 is here at the very bottom. So there's that's the original Celestial Dragons. We were told there's 20 of them, right? Or 20 kingdoms or something like that. So,
Noah's Ark.
Well, and I'm going to get the names wrong of everything. This is just called the Ark, right? Or what was the boat that was in Fishman Island?
I forgot. Yeah, I think it's the Ark. Let's just say that.
I think it's Noah, is that right? Noah is known as the Ship of Promise, an enormous ship created during the Void Century by the denizens from an island. So maybe Noah
and you see,
is...
like, you see like the animals, like the two pairs of like animals at the bottom.
Yeah, there's also... I think that this is an Ark. This is Noah or Ark or whatever. Yeah. I think Noah is what they call it. There's also interesting in that there's another ship up here that appears to be flying and shooting lightning down.
Pluton.
It's Pluton, right? I think that what we're seeing a lot of here is, I think this is Pluton. And then we do see over here, like this is Neptune, right? Is Shirahoshi. And then what's the third one? I'm forgetting the third.
It's the ship.
Which is the ship that is potentially maybe the ship here. I don't know.
I think that the current ship is like, it's just, I don't know where it is on the picture, to be fair, but yeah, it's the one that Frankie can build. Only Frankie can build.
Yeah, for sure. Ancient weapons. I just can't remember the name of it.
I think it's Poseidon.
Poseidon. Yeah. So maybe this is more.
Poseidon was Shirahoshi. But it
no, Poseidon's Shirahoshi. Yeah. I don't know. There's too much stuff going on here. The other interesting thing that I'll ask, since you haven't read any of this, what do you think about the Earth God raged and with its serpent of hellfire shrouded the world in death and darkness? What do you think, serpent of hellfire? It's obviously over here on the right side of the picture, right?
Yeah. So like giant snack, but it's like part of the buildings. It kind of reminds me of the big snake in Sky Islands.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, it's also from the Earth God, remember? So this, I'll tell you the prevailing theory is that this is the red line.
Oh, like it's
the Earth
just
God
a giant
raged.
Snake?
Yeah, yeah. That it's something that separated the world in two. Right, it goes all the way around the One Piece world. So the Earth God,
you know what?
Serpent of Hellfire,
it's
red
drawn
line.
It's drawn like the red line too, like on the maps.
Oh, is it? Like I don't. Let me see. The red line. Oh, it's taking me to Kappa Metro red line. I would actually like to look at the real red line, which is from One Piece.
Or the real red line, which is a movie that lost to Frozen and the studio went bankrupt.
Is this? Yeah, I'm looking at like if there's like an official. Oh, I guess this maybe is the best picture we've got here of like what the red line looks like. I mean, it's like, yeah, it could be a snake. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, like the X is there, like it's on the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I could see
it. But that's whatchamacallit, reverse mountain or whatever. Right. But
yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I can definitely see that in a sort of, lore explanation, you know, if the Earth God controls the tectonic plates of the earth, however you want to say it, and it's like the serpent of hellfire, the red line, like, you know, shrouds the world in death and darkness, like separates the world in two, you know, creates a giant wall of stuff. So that's kind of the prevailing theory. There's also just like a line going down the snake. I don't know, but
so if the sea god raged, that's probably like Poseidon, the old Poseidon.
Maybe. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know who the forest god would be outside of just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how real we are supposed to take these gods to be. I
think like the term god is not like an omniscient being in this text.
Yeah.
It's just like a force of nature kind of a thing. Like something that influences the fabric of the universe.
Yeah, or I mean, and potentially these devil fruit powers maybe came from something else. You know, maybe the power that they have in the ancient times just could like do this. Like it maybe just does this.
I think they were just like us. They were just like titans of industry running themselves.
Yeah, potentially, right.
So but we haven't talked about the third world yet. But that one has, I guess we don't, is like the least we have to talk about because it's happening.
There's definitely still some stuff in the second one that is important. For instance, like those of the half moon dreamed.
The Lunarians.
No, those of the moon dreamed are the Lunarians. Oh. The half moon is the D clan, my dude. Think of a half moon. It's the letter D. I can't make it.
What? Oh.
I think I'm fairly sure this is, right? That those of the half moon. Right. If you think of a crescent moon or a half moon, it's
D. I mean, like I see it. I don't know. Like I do see it like visually, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, there's also there was a translator note or an interview with the translator whose name I'm forgetting with Stephen Paul here, and he said that this line was tough to translate because it actually says like crescent. It's a more implied to be a crescent moon, so like a, you know, like a more like a the edge of a D, I guess you could say, than half moon. But there is an earlier chapter, like chapter 230 or something, that's called like Dreams of the Half Moon or something like that. And so that he kind of like changed. 292, yes. Chapter 292 is titled To Meet Like the Half Moon Hidden by Clouds. I don't know if that is necessarily important for what happens in there, but I believe that he mentioned that is why he translated that as half moon and not crescent moon. But either way, and Oda has continually said that no one has really figured out, and he said pretty recently that like no one's actually figured out what the D clan means or like what the D means from the D clan. And that's because like the D doesn't stand for anything. It's a half moon, like monkey part of this half moon clan, like monkey half moon clan Luffy. Right. I think this feels pretty good to me. I don't know.
I don't know. I it doesn't feel good to me yet.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I need something in the series that is, I guess it points towards it more. And then I'm on board. But
I think that there's probably more hints that we're missing that exist in the 1,137 other chapters of One Piece, but other people can find those and lay them out in a Reddit post. But right. I do think that when it says those of the moon dreamed, those are the Lunarians, the moon is featured here. It's interesting because, like, what do you think this demon in the center is that's kind of fighting with this? I think this is the sea god, maybe?
I thought it was, like, the forest.
Or could worse. Be. Well, the tree is there, right? That seems to be the Adam tree. So maybe the Adam tree has something to do with this Earth God or the forest god. So the forest god and Earth God are different here, I'm assuming.
They're different. And then there, like, there's three gods. There's a sea, forest, and earth. And then there's the one, the guy who killed the sun.
Yeah. Who this is, to me, this is Emu. And he's holding the power of the sun. But yeah, something here. We also see, yeah, we can talk about this left side now, I think. Is there anything else on the first or second world that stood out to you? Or anything in the picture that is interesting that's to the right of the tree and the demon here?
I don't know what the thing is on the moon, like the little circles, but I've been staring at it. And I can't figure it out.
I think it's just anything. Like craters on the moon, right? I don't know.
Maybe.
It is interesting. And this is the thing that everybody brings up is what's his name? Flew to the moon. The electric guy at the end of Skype.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, I thought it might've been Cope. That Enel is ever making an appearance in One Piece again.
People have been talking about this for 20 years.
He's legit going to come back, is how I feel about it now.
I think he's going to come back with Lunarians, maybe, right?
Yeah, or the whoever the little guys were on the moon that he met.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he met like Tentata tribe guys on the moon or something similar.
Exactly. Little fellas like them.
Yeah. Lots of cool, interesting things on the left side that we basically already know what, I think we know what almost everything on this left side is. Like, because this is that Iron Giant from Egghead. These are the Beastmen.
Laboon.
Yeah, Laboon. This is the fiery guy with the wings who from...
Like Marco?
I think this is either Marco or who is the... Was it
the
King?
Lunarian guy?
King, right? Was his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's King or Marco or it's somebody like that. This is obviously Joy Boy / Luffy. Very easily awakened there. Here's a giant with horns, right? Because we see him because he's so big. This is the flag of the Sun Pirates.
It's the same on Luffy's shield.
Yes, which the Sun Pirates, that would make sense because the Sun God Nika, Sun God Pirates. This is the Wano, obviously people.
Yeah,
just because he drew a little shuriken to make sure you knew, which is funny. I think this is just the Straw Hat fleet right down here, more fleet. But we have Shirahoshi, we have a Tentata, we have a little small dude, Shirahoshi leading other fish there. Another Zoe. Beastman, another Zoe.
That guy looks the funniest, the little squirrel guy. I don't know why.
Yeah. So
then
like,
there's a giant.
And these are the Marines on the left here, right? And I think another giant. Totally. I think another maybe giant. Two giants here. But yeah, we like kind of know what's going on the left. Is it's like Luffy and all the allies he gathered versus Emu and the Marines, which is what the end game is. So like it's here.
Yeah.
Like, the end game has shown us like what we're gonna see in the next 2 to 12 years.
And so essentially like the third world says the sun god dances and laughs and guides the world to its end. I think it's the reason it's different interpretations is because like some think it's like an apocalyptic event and others think it's like a new beginning.
Yeah.
And I think it's like the series is called Romance Dawn or was. Mm-hmm. So I mean that Romance Dawn like works perfectly as a title even without all this backstory, but it's even more perfect with, you know. Yes. I get why Oda would have initially wanted to call this thing Romance Dawn.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So another thing I will say just for the line here in the third world that says, the inconvenient remnants recall the promised day and hear the voice of the half moon. To me, this is reinforced if you think of this as like,
okay, the I'm remnants, more on board with the D.
Yeah, the remnants recall the promised day and are like led by the will of D, right? Like the people with the will of D are like, you know, hear the voice of the half moon. They're like, they're the one guiding these inconvenient remnants, like to this end, right?
I'm back on board. I'm behind the theory now. That makes total sense to me. Okay.
I also think that I feel like this fairly certainly confirms one of the major theories which has been going on, which is that what Luffy is kind of destined to do is to destroy the Red Line, rejoin the oceans. And so again, it's in the text, right? Shroud, the World, Darkness, like, they will never meet. They will never meet. They will surely meet. This means the oceans, right? At the end of the first world, the oceans are separated. The oceans are still separated during the Void Century and during the second world. And in the last century, which is why guiding the world to its end, it's like, yeah, the world's going to end because it's going to be a new world. It's the all blue, right? Like, I mean, it ties all the way back to that. Like, he's going to take down the red. He's going to break open the red line, get rid of the grand line. All the oceans will meet. It's one ocean. It'll probably drain down to where there's more landmass, and then it'll be a whole new world. And that's the end of One Piece. Like, I think it's right here. Like,
so you said all blue, which is Sanji's dream to find like all the fishies.
Yeah.
I actually think that could lead to the, like, reuniting the sea as it should be. Could be like everything would be the all blue. Yeah. I think that would be a satisfying conclusion.
I think
to
this
goal,
I
that,
think
that's how it plays out.
I agree. And I think this also, this fulfills the dreams of so many of the Straw Hats. Like, I think Nami's dream to map the world, she's going to have a whole new world to map. And that's like her dream. Like, no one else has mapped this new world. Nami's going to get to map it. Like, that's her dream. The all blue thing with Sanji, Zoro's going to be the best swordsman. I don't know. That just happens.
Yeah,
right? That just happens. Whatever. That just happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is Chopper and Frankie?
Chopper is just along for the ride, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they're all just kind of more along. I think Frankie gets to build his ship, maybe, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure he's building the ship by the end of it. I think what he'll do is he'll just mod out the Sunny.
Yeah, I think that it might even be in Elbath. They might give him Atomwood. They say they have a ton of it. They'll like give him Atomwood, and he'll upgrade the Sunny. Because it's so perfect. Their ship is called the Sunny, and the Sun got Mika, and it's the greatest story ever told. Greatest story ever told. Okay,
it's so good.
It's so fun. Good. This is a crazy panel, man. I cannot get over how much stuff is in this double page spread.
So the one thing I guess on the right side that I have, I'm wondering is the White Angel in near the Noah's Ark.
That's I don't know.
Solitary White Angel. What is that about?
Is this Lunarians again? Don't they have the wings? Isn't that what they are?
They do have wings, like King on the left, right? But he's like a black angel. And then there's this White Angel. Is he like, I don't know. Is he supposed to be on that side of the page?
God, surely everything on this page is intentional. Do not make me start to doubt if Oda accidentally drew something on this page.
No, I don't think it's an accident. I'm just saying, like, shouldn't that angel have, like, a second angel there, given, like, the whole Noah's Ark thing?
Yeah, well, and I wonder if this is something, this could just be something like, oh, when building Noah, the Lunarians helped build Noah, and so it can also be a spaceship, right? Like, there's something like that maybe just going on here. I don't know. But it is definitely, it is definitely interesting that there is, like, that's got to be Lunarian, I would assume, right?
I think.
It's also hard to tell, is this second world or first world? Because it's kind of both here in the middle.
I think it's like going from first to second.
Yeah.
It's like a transition.
Because it definitely does seem like all of this kind of the flame that they're pulling out of the earth is going towards Emu to give them power, maybe, or it's going maybe into like Emu, Noah, and Pluton, the like weapon and the weapon. Like it.
Well, it's all going back. It's into the buildings. So I think like.
Oh,
after,
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. I think after like the first world was destroyed.
I see. That's what's doing. Yeah.
It's like implied that all of the catastrophes caused by. Like unending progress, technological progress, kind of a thing.
Yeah, turns out One Piece is the ultimate anti-global warming story. Move over, Nausicaa. Oh,
it really is.
It has a lot of vibes of it for sure. So,
like tides rising. Yep. Yeah, like industry causing cataclysm. Yeah, it's all there. The Ark was in Elship. So,
okay, yeah. So, I mean, like, maybe this is the Ark and the Lunarians took it to the
moon? I think you're right that this is Noah. I think this is Noah, like you said. Like, the one under.
Well, because it does say it was. Yeah, it did say in the quick wiki article that I glanced at that Noah was built either like during or right before the Void Century. And this is, I think, kind of on the timeline. Like, when you get to the middle here where Pluton's coming down in the tree and Nemo's here. Like, this is Void Century-esque. So yeah, I think this is maybe Noah. But yeah,
but I do think we Enel's ship being called the Ark feels
also,
I don't know,
relevant.
I'm Enel posting, but like, yeah,
I think he's coming back. Like, I never believed back. It. The whole time since I've read One Piece, people have been like, oh, like Enel's coming back. He's on the moon, but he's coming back. I was like, no, he's fucking not. Like, you're so stupid. That story is over. And now I'm like, no, he's coming back. Like, I'm 100%. He's back.
You know, he's like, literally, like, he has no redeeming qualities. He's the ultimate shithead loser asshole, right?
Yeah.
But the reason we want him back is, one, because he had, like, lightning powers, and that's awesome.
That's cool, yeah.
But two, it's, I think he endeared us with his stupid reaction face. I think
reason I love him is because he has maybe the best reaction face of all time. The best reaction face of One Piece.
Oda, like, chapter after chapter, everyone, like, predicted this joke, right? Because they kept Luffy and Enel apart that whole arc.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
But it was such a great payoff, regardless of being able to predict it.
It's also all this shit's so crazy. Like, the Sun Pirates, Wano, like, I'm trying to see if any of these are, like, relevant people down here. Like, it's hard to tell if any of these are, like, relevant stick figures at the bottom here, but
they're all, like, doing different things, so I think they're probably relevant. Like, the guy who's doing, like, a little swirly maneuver up there.
I was trying to figure out, like, he looks unique, and I can't figure out why. Like, is this Shanks? Because he only has one arm? It's very low res and hard to tell.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's also cool, but it's like, man, like, the Tentata are here, Shirahoshi's here. It's just, like, everybody's here. The Giant is here again.
They're all here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Iron Giant. But
yeah, like, literally Laban with people riding him. So that's going to be, who is the person who's watching Laban from the Roger Pirates?
Yeah, I forgot his name, but
yeah.
Laboon's definitely coming back because, like,
Laboon.
He has, like, the straw hat thrown on him. And he's like,
yes.
Like, the red line literally separated him from his friends. So he has, like, a vested interest in breaking down that barrier, you know, breaking down the walls.
That's who it is, right? Okay. Crocus? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, it's interesting how they set up the red line as, like, kind of this barrier separating, like, families and friends and stuff. When you see, like, Laboon initially, he's bashing his head against the red line, right? So
yeah.
I don't know. That's cool. It's cool that it came back around to it being a literal god that separated the world.
Yeah. Or like, I will also say, this could just be a sort of child's imagination. Like we said, maybe there isn't an earth god that made a serpent of hellfire. Like, it could just literally be like some machine,
like a metaphor,
like, created a bunch of land that went around the world. Like, it could just be something like that, I think.
That's likely too, because it's like stemming out of, like, the industrial complex the slaves are working in.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. They're throwing, like, the little mother flames on the right, onto these, like, people who are descending on an elevator with halos. I'm not sure what that.
Yeah, I noticed that too. These people go down, and then they're sort of, like, given halos as they go down, and then they come up with mother flame fire, and then give it to the city. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess the mines. Who knows?
Or I guess I think. The Mother Flame could be like a copy of whatever power this is that they're pulling out of the earth or something like that. Because the Mother Flame exists now, but it's, yeah, I don't know. I haven't thought about that too much.
Well, it exists now because Vegapunk recreated it.
Yeah, true. So maybe Vegapunk did the same, you know, took stuff. Maybe he had, like, one of these is the Mother Flame, and these guys are pulling, like, one Mother Flame out of the earth every 5 minutes, and it's, like, that much power or something.
Well, Vegapunk is, like, a super turbo genius.
That's true. Yep.
He's, like, better at everyone than every, like, you know, he's, like, the smartest guy. I think these people are like us, where technological progress is, like, a collaborative effort. Whereas Vegapunk is just, like, okay, just, I can do everything because my brain is so huge.
Yeah.
So I anticipate he didn't need slave labor for his.
Yeah. Okay. I looked at the Mother Flame wiki, and it does say energy source developed by Dr. Vegapunk is envisioned to be an undying flame that would, like Vegapunk and his satellites, create their own sun, but is still incomplete. So, okay. Because in this first world, second world, third world thing, the sun is kind of the bad guy, right? Like, it's kind of presented as, like, Like the sun, I don't think god the sun appeared.
Is the bad guy. The sun is the liberating force, because these were enslaved people praying to the sun god, and then yeah. everything is keeping the status quo.
Yeah.
As in, like, the reason the tides are, like, raised is because Joy Boy was killed. Clearly, the ocean itself hated that move on Emu's part.
yeah.
And so I think the sun is, like, the Nika is just representative of good and change. And everything else is keeping that change from happening. By separating everyone, they're basically stalling out progress.
Yeah.
To keep power, status quo, whatever. For yeah. whatever reason.
It is also called, in this first world, the stuff they're pulling out of the earth is called the Forbidden Sun. So it's an interesting parallel okay. that Nika's the sun god. The things they pulled out of the earth to piss the earth off was called the Forbidden Sun. The Mother Flame is trying to recreate its own sun. There's lots of sun stuff in here going on that's connected yeah. somehow.
Okay, so they're basically harvesting natural resources. And that's another global warming message here.
Yeah, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
Cool. Anything else?
No, I think we got it, kind of. Yeah.
Well, and that's the wild thing is that people looking at this picture and even not even theorizing, but like connecting the dots are basically like, oh, yeah, we like got it. Like we know it. We kind of know now. Like there's a couple of little empty things, like what exactly happened to kill Nika and how did Emo do it and all this stuff. But like some details are missing, but this is the history of the entire world of One Piece and the ending. Like this is the entire
yeah.
back history and how it's going to end like right here, or maybe not how it ends, but I'm pretty sure they will surely meet. I will 99% bet a little bit of money on that's about the oceans and that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And that, cause that's the all blue that gives Nami her all map, the new world. Like I just all connects so perfectly. It's excellent.
They will surely meet. It's about not only the oceans, but like the people of the world.
Yes.
That yeah. were separated artificially, you know?
Yeah. Oh, good call. Because, right here, right? This you were familiar with. There were sometimes wars between races, but never cultural exchange. Well, if all the people meet, there will be cultural exchange and that will be good for the world. And that's positive liberal thinking from Oda, basically. So, yeah.
Exactly. And you see, like, already the influence of kind of cultural change and exchange by proxy of, like, the giant children being pacifists.
Right.
So I think, like, ultimately the people in, it, like, this the message here, there's a lot of messages, of course, but
yeah.
one of the messages here is that the powers who control the world are doing whatever it takes to keep their power by artificially or intentionally obstructing change from happening.
Yeah.
And like separating, if that means like separating cultures and whatnot, that seems to be what's happening. So they will surely meet is in reference to the oceans of the world, but also the people of the world.
The oceans of the people. I think that's a great way to put it. Yep. Cool. It's the best story ever written. It's just so good. How does it do this? It's really good. Cool.
It's like the one thing I think I'll like never stop reading. You know, it's like I'll never drop off of One Piece.
No, absolutely not. I like, man. And at some point, I'll need to reread it. Right. I've only read once catching up and then read ongoing for the past 5 or 6 years. I'm gonna have to reread it after I know everything.
Yeah, let's do a reread at some point, man. Like
One video a volume. There's only how many volumes? Like 130?
I don't think we'll be here for videos on it.
If we do one a week, it'll take us more than 3 years, I think, to do every volume of One Piece.
Dude, we would be like retiring.
Yes. It would take a long
time that ends. Yeah.
Cool. All right. There's a little bit of manga news here. Actually, quite a bit of manga news. So let's go through it. Yasuki Matsumoto, who is the author of Monochrome Days, has revealed, he used, quote, it managed to avoid being canceled by volume 2. So he says he's going to try for 4 volumes. That Monochrome Days is still really good. I don't know if you're still reading it.
I'm not, but I really enjoyed it. So
yeah, continuing to be really good. I think maybe when it's over, we should do a review of it or something, but,
yeah.
Cool. There's a new Star Wars manga set during the sequel trilogy titled Star Wars Path of the Lightsaber. This is announced by Team Phoenix and creator Kenny Ruiz. This is a he's a French-Belgian author who did he did the series called Team Phoenix, which I think was published in one of the Japanese manga. He's one of those French-Japanese cultural exchange guys. But Star Wars seems ripe for a manga, so excited for that.
Yeah, it sparks, like, I don't know. I feel like anyone who touches Star Wars properties just does it wrong.
It's either easy money or messed up, yeah. The pillows broke up. I'm sad. We'll move on from
Okay. Did you see that? I didn't see that, but I'm surprised they were still together, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know if they toured or recorded, but they released something earlier in the week that was basically like, hey, you know, nothing's wrong. We're just telling you we're not going to make music or tour or do anything together anymore. So
pillows I think over. That's totally fair. Like, yeah, it's like a little... Yeah. They're all getting quite old, and they've been doing this for a while and doing it very well. So yeah, they deserve kind of like a break from each other.
Yeah, until they die, and
the human condition.
Until they reach the finality, the third.
Yeah,
cool.
Thank you for mentioning that all humans die, Bruce.
Don't forget, everybody dies. K-Manga app finally changes how their app works. You can now get all past chapters, except for the most recent chapter, using the free tickets instead of the paid ones. This basically means that previously, if you wanted to go back and read something like Rent-A-Girlfriend or Gachiakuta, like we're covering on the channel, you could read, I think, the first two or three chapters with the free tickets, which are like the tickets you get for logging in and, you know, like... Log in and like doing a review or something, whatever, like that. You get free tickets. But you could only read most of the history of a series with paid tickets. So you had to pay money to read those. Now, all of those series are moving over to be able to be read with the free tickets. This includes stuff like Gachiakuta, which we mentioned, which there's a big review on the channel. You should come read along with us. Rent-A-Girlfriend, Blue Lock, Shangri-La Frontier, Go-Go Loser Ranger, Kaijin Fugeki, tons and tons of others. Everything by
Kodansha. Smoking Beyond the Supermarket.
Yeah. Supermarket. Smoke Behind the Supermarket. Lots of good stuff here. And unfortunately, the K-Manga app kind of absolutely killed the discussions in the West of a lot of those series.
Because everybody is like, nobody is going to use this double currency system unless it's an exploitative gacha game, in which case they will. But
yeah,
like, I am hesitant to use anything that makes me turn dollars into e-bucks in any kind of way,
and you know? At a rate that is not 1-to-1 or 1-to-100, right? Like, if $1 is 100 points, I can understand how much money I'm spending. When it's like $1 is 89 blue points and 15 yellow points, it's like
it's intentionally done that way so you're not, so you don't know how much money you're spending, right? It's it doesn't feel like you're spending real money, and it's like those systems are inherently meant to kind of deceive. It's predatory. So yeah, fuck that system. I'm not surprised that it went really poorly for them.
Yeah,
especially when their biggest competitor, Shonen Jump, is doing just it much better.
Basically just free. Or in the West, it's you pay $3 for Viz or $3 a month for Manga Plus, and you can read everything, all history of all time. It's like that.
Yeah. Just
the subscription model is clearly superior. Like, the thing is, even if K-Manga charged even like $8 or $10 a month, I'd probably just pay it and read all that stuff because I want to read a bunch of that stuff. Their official translations are generally good. They don't have bad translations. It's high quality scans. The reading app is not that bad. It's just all the other stuff around it that's bad. They have good manga and a good reader, but all the stuff around is bad. But anyways, good on them for changing it. Go check out if you ever want to read or catch up. Reward them for making a good choice by going and hopefully reading some of that.
Agreed. I read Galaxias because
Galaxias. Yeah,
it needs to help.
It needs to survive. They released the volume two cover, and it looks great. Like, the covers of Galaxias look amazing. The art is excellent.
I feel it in my bones that it will be canceled, and
It's had so much trouble. The author had to like take a break, and then it got moved to off of the main thing. But like,
it's so fun. Like,
it's so good. Like, look how good this cover looks, man. It's so good.
Yeah. I hope it lives, dude.
I really need it to live. And yeah, I think if it lives enough to get an anime and it gets a decent anime, people will be like, wow, this is actually really good. And we
after what happened to Drunk Bullet and Ginkan and Luna, I still haven't forgotten.
And I won't forget. MMA and lots of good stuff gets canceled.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Phantom Busters, Girl Meets Rock, Shiba Inu Rooms, and Super Psychic Policeman Shoujo have ranked 2nd, 5th, 7th, and 14th, respectively, in the Nationwide Bookstore Employees Recommended Comics of 2025. This is a group of people who run the bookstores in Japan and what they recommend to the most people. Phantom Busters is kind of a wild one because that is like one of the most popular things on Jump Plus. That is maybe actually the most popular thing on Jump Plus in Japan. And we do not have an English translation or version of it. We are getting an English physical copy of it coming later this year, but there's no translation of that on Jump Plus for us. And I don't understand why. Like, it's incredibly popular. Yeah. But I'm super happy to see Shiba Inu Rooms at 7th is great. I think that's one that like literally could tell anybody to read, and it's funny and heartfelt. I'm in love with Shiba Inu Rooms. One of my new things from last year.
We didn't really like Super Psychic Policeman.
Yeah, comedy subjective. Yes, Policeman Shoujo. It was okay though. It was better than most comedy things I think in Jump that have tried.
I think we were just too old.
Yeah, I definitely think it skews a little bit younger. And it skews maybe probably, I bet that it's funnier in Japanese, right? Like, it's just one of those things you just lose jokes in translation because the Japanese are so good at doing the jokes inside names and jokes inside words that's just so hard to get in English, which makes it a hard translation.
I remember it also being like Saturday morning cartoon type of beat. And a little bit. I think that doesn't resonate with us being in our 30s. So, yeah, probably a good series, just not for us. Makes sense.
Hakutaku is ending this weekend. That is going to be at 19 chapters total. That is 18 chapters too many, in my opinion. Try again.
Which one was that?
Hakutaku is the programming one, which I thought was the worst thing I had ever read.
We should revisit that. I'm kind of curious as to how
I'm good. You can certainly do that. I choose not to. Everything I've seen about it was basically like, yeah, it's just not good.
Okay.
Like, cool. Boichi, the artist of, you may know him from Dr. Stone, starting a new Wild West manga on Jump Plus that starts February 7th. It's Friday for us. It is quoted as a Wild West drama about a boy who claims to be the son of a vicious outlaw. He killed his father and crossed the desert with his corpse. Boichi's one of the best artists living.
Hey, that sounds sick.
It sounds cool.
I love Westerns. So,
yep.
Yeah, let's see it.
I do like Westerns. Tsumiki Ogami's Not So Ordinary Life is now a Viz Weekly Simulpub. That is a very good series. Go check that out. We now get a direct line to it, which I think is good. I think more people will check it out now. The fan translations were good, and I think it's part of the reason why it got picked up. So that's very good.
Okay.
Kaiju number 8 is in Fortnite now. Coming soon. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the Kaiju number 8 characters are going into Fortnite. It's a big hit. The anime is a big hit. Like and to be honest, the manga through season 1 of the anime was really good. Like, that's a good series for a good chunk of it, and then it is god awful now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last thing I wanted to bring up, we don't have to talk about it too long, it's a long episode. Chain Soldier, Kindergarten Wars, Dan are all on break for planning story stuff, and I think it's good. I think we are finally seeing a movement of these manga authors able to say, I think Fryman's on break for story planning too. Like, all these authors now are able to be like, hey, I need to take a month off and plan the rest of the story. And the publishers are letting them take these breaks. I think it's great. And
I'm
people
glad that
are not
they're
complaining.
Leveraging their power a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, once you have a hit on your hands, and you need time, of course you can just be like, I need to take a break. What are they going to do? Fire you?
Well, and and it just improves, like, man, I'm still so sad about My Hero. Like, if Horikoshi could have taken a break like this a couple times, I think we would have gotten a really impressive story that ended up kind of falling off at the end. But yeah, I think that we are seeing in real time that this manga authors taking extended breaks for story planning and for recovery is becoming more normal, right? Like, when Yukinobu of Dandadan took a break, no one was like, oh man, like, what is he taking a break for? Is it bad? And people are stopping doing the they need to take a break for health reasons, and it's a week off. And instead, it's just like, these manga are all getting a month off, and they're taking it, and they're planning their story, and then they'll come back, and they'll finish it out, or whatever. It's just so much, they're moving towards a healthier state where, you know, I still wish that all manga was just the Oda thing. Like, 3 months on, 3 weeks on, 1 week off, like, that's a good...
For publishing, I'm cool with that too.
3 chapters a month, I think that's great. And it never feels like there's not enough... I mean, there is not enough One Piece, but... It never feels like we have to skip 1 week of One Piece and then it's back for 3 weeks. That's great. So
I think the problem is that you're like cutting 25% of your like revenue.
Yeah, I guess it's like one less volume a year.
Yeah.
So But they're better volumes and people like them more. So I don't know. The artistic side of me here says,
oh yeah. Got it. Hey, don't people get me breaks. Wrong. I'm always on the side of whatever is best for the person, the individual making the thing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's all about the money for everyone who runs this shit. So
yeah.
As long as they can keep the engine running, they will.
Cool. Let's talk about one more thing. Like I mentioned briefly, is Kindergarten Wars, which...
approaching its end, I hear.
I think entering its final arc, I think it'll still probably... it might end this year, it might end early next year. It still could definitely be 30 or 40 more chapters. But yeah, we got a really cool kind of pre-break chapter where some big stuff happened, everything lined up. All of our good guys are kind of here, ready to take on the world. And yeah, this is kind of the last page of the chapter that came out this week called The Final Arc, Shall I Begin the End? it's like, this series has impressed me maybe more than anything in that we talked about this when it first came out, you know, 2 years ago or whatever, of like, oh yeah, it's a dumb little joke of haha, you know, she's a kindergarten teacher that's a murderer and she makes funny jokes. This is like a legitimately fucking amazing like series. Like I love Kindergarten. It's so good. And like the drama stuff that is happening and the break and yeah. And this author's on break for a month to plan out the end. So I'm really excited. I think it's going to be when this gets an anime, which I think soon, maybe this year, maybe next year. I think it's going to pop off and be great if it's animated well, because yeah, this is a great story.
Yeah. I got to catch up so we can cover the final arc.
Yeah, definitely. Catching up now would be the time to do it, because this is a good time to get to it and be like, oof, yeah, and then take a couple weeks off. So, cool. I suggest everyone read this. Kindergarten Wars is great. Got to tell me about Pokerogue.
I've been playing Pokerogue. It's a Pokemon roguelike. Honestly, an amazing game. Very difficult. But I'm liking it more than I like most Pokemon, like mainline games. It's just great. I think you'll get like a billion hours out of it and it's free. So you should go check it out. Yeah. But what I actually, since we were talking about Westerns, have you ever seen True Grit?
Which I've not seen the old version. I've seen the new version.
New version. Yeah. That's, I watched it like last week.
Oh, that's a great movie. Yeah.
It is so good.
What Coen Brothers, what an amazing, I think, right?
Yeah. I think so. It's the Coens for sure.
Yeah.
I thought it was an amazing movie. I thought, because it was called True Grit, it would be like this really fucked up Western, like a There Will Be Blood kind of fucked up movie. But no, it was like a cute and fun and sweet movie that was also dark at the same time.
Yeah, some people get shot and die. It's the West, but yeah. It's pretty earnest and honest, yeah, I guess.
And the little girl was great. She was so smart. I loved her.
Yeah, she's a big star now, so.
What?
She like voices Vi in Arcane and
did we talk about this already? Because I think
Hailee Steinfeld, right? Hailee Steinfeld is the actress who's
we might have talked about this last time then, because I remember you telling me that now.
She's in
Hailee Steinfeld.
Yeah, she's I'm trying to think. Wait.
Okay. Arcane, she was in Hawkeye apparently.
Yeah, she's Hawkeye's female like replacement partner, whatever you want to say. Yeah, she does the voice of Gwen Stacy in Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse.
She was so good. So yeah, I'm glad she's like a big star. Successful.
Yeah, and she's awesome. Good in that movie from what I remember too. So
yeah, she was great. And I thought like all of the men in that movie were kind of all like troubled, egotistical, like it's like this is a man's job. Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And they all kind of came around to her way of doing things.
For sure.
I loved that. I loved there was like this scene where Kurt Russell and Matt Damon were just like potatoes out of the air. Yeah, he was good. He was like a really pathetic character. I liked him. But they were both just like having like dick swinging contests by shooting potatoes out of the air. And Kurt Russell was drunk as fuck. But yeah, it was great. Great movie.
Cool. I think that is it for this week. Hey, thank you everyone for listening or watching. Don't forget to leave us feedback and leave us a comment. Let us know your wild One Piece theories. I want to hear them. Give us an upvote, thumbs up, like and subscribe, all that jazz. Check out Twitter, Patreon, linked in the description. Thank you for being with us yet again this week.
See you later.
And don't forget to read more manga. And read more One Piece.